Last night, after 25 years, fans of Twin Peaks got a trip back to that fictional Washington town. Twin Peaks returned last night, not on CBS, but on Showtime. Detective Dale Cooper was there. The Log Lady was there. The Palmer family was there. Snoqualmie Falls still there?
Yep.
Yeah. And staring at their screens were Seattle writer David Schmader and Leah Baltus, editor-in-chief of City Arts Magazine. Welcome.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
Same theme music for Twin Peaks?
Theme music is the same.
Yeah, it might have been lightly modified, but definitely of that same spirit for sure.
Mm-hmm. With some new musical elements later in the episode.
Okay. Now, before we get more into the premiere, let's set this up. David, you're a super fan, or you've loved Twin Peaks since the beginning?
Yep.
Okay. What was it about Twin Peaks that hooked you?
I was a big David Lynch fan. It was when I was in high school, Blue Velvet came out, and David Lynch was kind of like the Sex Pistols of cinema. Like, it reset your expectations and was edgier and angrier and scarier than anything you'd encountered before as entertainment. So I was deep into the David Lynch fan club, and then Twin Peaks came along, and the thing that no one will ever understand, even with this new one because it's on Showtime, is it's back when we had primarily network television. It was on network television and there were commercial breaks and nothing had ever moved like that. It was just, it didn't hit any preordained beats that we were used to from TV. So the idea of seeing it now is just another kind of prestige series. I think I'll always remember just like, no, this was on TV. It would cut to a GIF commercial. It was amazing. It made it all so much weirder because this was what we were so used to this format behaving one way, and Twin Peaks showed it could behave an entirely different way. So that's lost now that it's on Showtime and there's no commercials. And if you watch Twin Peaks now on streaming, there's no commercials. And I seem to be making an argument for commercials and I'm not.
But Bring back commercials, says David Schmader.
It was just a very special thing of it was coming to you from the most popular channels available, and it was really edgy art. So that just felt something new.
Leah, you are newer to Twin Peaks, yes?
It's true. I married a Twin Peaks super fan, so I got my education.
You binge watched?
I watched the entire series, first season, second season movie about a year ago when it was, you know, bandying about that maybe there was going to be this reboot because, you know, it was kind of on again, off again for a while there. And and so we watched the entire thing, which is pretty weird to do because of the commercial breaks. It has that very weird cadence, you know, when you're watching it.
Yes. But,
I mean, I was certainly taken with it, and I had been a Lynch fan in movies. So the vibes and, of course, the location is interesting. It's unlike anything else, and I think it's a progenitor of prestige TV for sure.
Yeah, you've also felt like Twin Peaks changed things.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like kind of what David was saying. I mean, the fact that it was so risky and edgy and strange and was reaching this broadcast television audience, that was a big change.
I just realized maybe we should do a quick synopsis for people who are not up on this 25-year-old show. So very quickly, hit me.
Whew,
this is a good
tough challenge.
A man goes to a town and things go wrong.
Boom. That's it. Watch that with a GIF commercial every few minutes.
It's the intrigue.
Set in, I think supposedly it's in sort of east central northern, not far from the Canadian border in eastern Washington.
Close to the Canadian border.
Yeah.
And the change with this new reboot is that the whole thing is not taking place in the state of Washington, but they've introduced other locations as well.
Okay. So yes.
Oh,
David?
I was going to go back to the general story for people who really don't know. Okay, yeah. Laura Palmer was the beloved prom queen of Twin Peaks, and she's found murdered, and an FBI agent played by Kyle MacLachlan shows up to solve her murder, and that's kind of the engine of the original Twin Peaks, is solving who killed Laura Palmer.
Yeah, great. Spoiler. We just told everybody Laura Palmer was killed. I kid. Okay, so let's get...
Someone shot JR, too.
Yes. Let's fast forward now. It's been 25 years. David, how did the new Twin Peaks live up?
It was beautiful and entrancing, and I thought it was wonderful. The key with this is it's David Lynch directing. David Lynch directed most of season one. We all love season one. Things go off the rails in Twin Peaks when someone who's not David Lynch directs, and you realize how fragile this spell he casts is. And I don't know, is he planning on directing this whole reboot? Have you heard anything?
That's my understanding.
Great. I hope he took the time to do it, because it that the only time it really seems to go wrong, even when David Lynch isn't pleasing you, you know the puzzle is still intriguing and it's worth your full attention. And some of the ugly stuff in season two where you realized they're just making this up. There's just some schmuck just writing a script for this. And so if it's all in his control, I think we'll get another like intoxicating dreamscape that half of America will be in love with. And it might not add up to anything gratifying plot-wise. He hasn't always been that successful with that or even interested, really.
Uh-huh. Although apparently they went back to, my husband was telling me last night, they went back to their notes from when they left off the series originally when they got canceled. And this is somewhat based on the notes that they'd kept for themselves, as I understand it, in order to, so they updated things also. You know, they didn't just use old ideas, but also new ideas. But I thought that was what was really interesting, how they were mixing together the nostalgia of the old Twin Peaks with these interesting choices that were different and sort of bringing it into the now and allowing there to be, you know, contemporary technology, for example, or whatever. It wasn't just a nostalgia piece, you know, looking back.
Yeah, and there's something that was the moving it out of Twin Peaks Town. My favorite shots were where I just got to see David Lynch making a TV show. Was his establishing shot for New York was like no establishing shot you ever seen for New York before, but you knew it was New York, but it was, he found a new way to do it. And that's usually his trick. It's like, let me tell a classic hunting a monster story with all new imagery.
A KOW listener told us what they thought on Twitter and said, have to say that I was hoping 25 years later that plots wouldn't revolve around the dispensability of women's bodies. Is that fair?
Yes.
You're nodding your head.
Indeed. I think this is a bit of a pet point for David, so let's...
All of Twin Peaks has made a big... They've starred a lot of sexy corpses, and they spend a lot of minutes on how those corpses die, and he uses it as... I think Lynch uses degrading a woman and murdering a woman that way as like a shorthand for the most evil you can be, but... It's a trope that's been used so much that it just feels sticky with meaning I'm not really that interested in, and I would like to find a new way to show evil besides a dead naked woman.
Agreed.
Okay. But that seems so central to the show, and yet you love the show.
Well, you don't have to show the body, and okay. You certainly don't have to show the body in a strangely, you know, position to be beautiful and sexy while also very dead.
Okay, it's just a camera shot directing thing.
Yeah,
it doesn't seep through the whole thing that this is their attitude.
No, it does seem like it's his visual cue for the most evil thing a human can do is kill a beautiful woman. But the fact they're always beautiful makes it seem, we talked about this, it makes it seem like it's more about you crashed a sports car, not that you murdered a human.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was thinking a lot about how in these intervening 25 years, a lot has happened in our visual media where we become more and more adjusted to so much violence in our eyeballs, and how is it going to land even still? And so in some ways you're more desensitized than you might have been 25 years ago, but in other ways the fact that he's still doing that and so much other consciousness has shifted seemed a little bit odd.
Yeah, I would love to see David Lynch. I mean, film noir from the 40s is filthy with murder and rape and crime, and they just don't they choose to show more interesting things. And I would love to see David Lynch apply his visual imagination to what angle we saw the corpse at instead of the splayed out sex corpse.
Okay. Another listener tweeted at us, HD took some of the edge off, something to be said for fuzziness. Do you agree with any of that?
Well, again, having watched it on like a contemporary television, in the old version in the fuzzy was really weird. I imagine that if I had watched it on an actual television of 1990, it would have been different. But I thought that was cool, too, that he was embracing it. And, you know, it's like that establishing shot of New York, for example. It's so clear and it's making use of the technology he has available as opposed to just clinging to those old stylistic choices just for nostalgia's sake. I don't know why else.
You don't need vinyl in your TV. Okay.
No.
Here's another comment. Therese says, What the hell was I thinking watching Twin Peaks alone before bed? Anybody else not sleep? Is it scary? Is it that scary in 2017?
It leaves so much. If you have a mind that likes to be stressed, it will give you ample opportunity to just expand your fear. And that's how my husband watches it. And just every time there's a mystery, he's sure it's going to result in a beheading or a monster jumping out. I'm like, it's not that type of show, so, sweetie. It's going to be fine. So for me, it's more like itchy, but I'm never scared.
I wasn't scared last night. I expect to be scared as we get a little deeper into things.
Okay. Therese also says something that I'm afraid might be a spoiler about Laura Palmer, so I'm not going to say it. Finally, a listener named Bino tweeted, "Everyone seems very confused and opinions are already polarized. Yes! Twin Peaks is back." I'll leave it there. If people do not want to spend their time watching Twin Peaks this coming weekend, there are some festivals, it turns out, they can go to. David, did you know that Folklife was happening again this weekend? Are you into it? Is it material?
It's not something I'm not a big festival person. But I've been surprised because I've really loved going to marches and protests. So I'm like, oh, when there's a big purpose to go, but the kind of people watching, mingling around, is just not appealing to me.
Okay, then Leah, I'm going to put you in charge. Did you say you're a bad person?
I'm a bad person to
okay.
ask.
Okay, so good person, Leah Baltus, tell us what we should know about Folklife.
Oh my gosh. Well, I think I was looking up earlier. I think that it said there's 5,000 artists who are going to be performing, so that tells you a lot about the scope. You know, it's just so many bands and so many styles, and they have like, I don't know, maybe 10 or a dozen different showcases with, you know, focuses like jazz or Bollywood or whatever. So the range is really an all of the above kind of approach, which is cool for a free festival. And if you like to go and be on Seattle Center campus and be among the people and experience all these different cultures around you, that seems like a positive. You know, I'm sort of like David. I'm not a big major crowds person, but Folklife has a mellow vibe. So even if you don't get down with like Capitol Hill Block Party, or if even Bummer Shoot is kind of too much for you, Folklife is way more chill.
Sasquatch?
Is
that also this weekend?
Also
it
this
is,
weekend,
right?
Yes. 3 days. Some local bands, but mostly big headliners, like Chance the Rapper, I think, is doing the third day, and Head and the Heart is playing, if you count them as local anymore, I don't know.
You can count them.
But that, I think tickets are still available, which was really surprising to me, because it's sold out every year for so long, and I think that maybe we've just hit peak festival, and so people have fatigue, and not everybody needs to have those tickets anymore.
Peak festival and Upstream just hit.
Well, at least you don't have to drive 3.5 hours to get to Upstream.
Yes.
You can go home and sleep in your own bed.
Yes, true. Less of a commitment, you know. You can go for just a little bit.
Right.
And the free aspect of Folklife is glorious. And a lot of resentment I have about Bumbershoot is that it doesn't feel like it's for the city people anymore. With a $100 ticket, you're not going to take your kids. You're not going to take the family. It's going to be... I feel like that's a shame, and I love that we at least have one giant festival that is free.
Which is the reminder to everyone to donate when they show up for their free thing.
Right. I haven't checked the forecast. I don't know if you should be complaining about the sun by the time you get to Memorial Day weekend. I think it's supposed to be sunny the entire weekend.
Yes, I think they lucked out. Yay.
But where's the Twin Peaks gloom? What happened to our gloom?
It'll be back Sunday night.
Sunday night. Again, Twin Peaks on Showtime. And it's only available in the moment. I assume you can binge watch it all whenever you feel like
Once
it.
Once it's aired, yeah. I think. But it's not like Netflix where they drop the whole season or whatever.
Okay. Otherwise, Showtime, Sunday nights, no GIF. Jiffy peanut butter ads. And... So check it out if you're interested. Enjoy festivals if you're interested. Leah Baltus, editor-in-chief of City Arts Magazine. David Schmader, Seattle writer and author of the book Weed, The User's Guide. And apparently I said it was on CBS, and that's not true.
ABC.
Twin Peaks was on ABC. Thank you for not correcting me. I like the spirit behind you not correcting me, but I want to get it right. Okay, it's KUOW's The Record. I kind of miss GIF ads now that we've been talking so much about it.
Guys, lunch is almost ready.
Check this out. You got low-salt snacks, low-sugar jelly. What a mom.
Hey, I worry about giving them too much salt and sugar.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I'd love to try a peanut butter with less.
Oh, that tastes really good.
Play the Twin Peaks music underneath this.
Simply GIF. It's new.
Introducing Simply Jif, with 50% less added sugar and salt. 50% less than any leading regular brand. And a whole lot of fresh roasted peanut taste.
Mmm, I had no idea this could taste so good.
Hey, it's from Jif.
Yeah, you know, I feel really good about this.
So do they.
It's great, Mom.
Is that good, please?
New Simply Jif, another wholesome choice for choosy moms.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
It's KUOW's The Record.